Everyone, welcome to Shakya Presents Movie Night. I'm your host. My name is Rudy Obias, and joining me is
Harry Nemiroff.
And this week we're going to talk about two movies. It's kind of the start of the fall season and slowly but surely amping up to award season. Going on right now, we have the Venice Film Festival and the Toronto International Film Festival. And those two film festivals usually garner a lot of Oscar award-winning type of movies. The movie that we're going to talk about right now, we're going to talk about two. The first one, we're going to talk about Steven Soderbergh's new movie, Contagion, which premiered at the Venice Film Festival, I believe. And this is, I think this is his first film since Ocean's 13. It's I know it's been a while, or maybe Girlfriend Experience. It's kind of been a while since I've seen a Steven Soderbergh film in the theater. And this is kind of like an outbreak type of movie. There's this mysterious virus going being transmitted all around the world, and a lot of people are dying off. And really, this movie is about the people involved in this outbreak, the people who get this virus, and on the other end, how people are exploiting this virus, or how people are trying to find a cure for this unknown virus. Perry Nemiroff, what are your thoughts on Contagion?
I write this in my review. It is the scariest movie I have seen all year, and that comes from someone with an affinity for horror films. I haven't had something stick with me like this in quite a while. Everything in it is just so painfully realistic. I liken it to, Rudy, have you ever, you know, when we have like natural disasters and stuff, and all the news channels report on it 24/7, and you know, you see the same thing over and over, but you're kind of glued to the TV. This film almost like mimics that sensation, and you can't stop watching, which is why you're willing to keep going as we see all these people in all these different scenarios. And even beyond that, though, most of these scenarios work really well in terms of just coming together and creating one whole movie. There's really only one that didn't work for me, and even then, it wasn't enough to keep me from wanting more.
I think the elements in this film are pretty good and solid, but I think I kind of disagree with you. I don't think it comes together as well as I think it should. There are a lot of comparisons to this movie, like to Steven Soderbergh's 2000 film Traffic, and both kind of feel the same kind of way. Both are not really about the one thing that it's about. Is about the people involved and how they're kind of living through these events. I think I know which element didn't really come together for you so well, and I felt the whole film kind of felt like that one element for me, that there's a lot introduced, but it really doesn't, I don't want to say get resolved, but I don't think, for me at least, doesn't take it as further as I wish it would have. The elements of this film are pretty solid, though. I think it's very well shot, and I love the score for this film, but I think at the end of the day, it just really doesn't have that emotional thrust, which I think it was supposed to go for, because I think your emotional attachment to this film is Matt Damon's character and his daughter. But for me, that didn't work so well. What are your thoughts on the Matt Damon or the emotional element of this film?
Well, actually, I think that the reason you didn't like it as much, that it didn't come together enough, I feel like for me, that's what made it feel more realistic. Like in all of these disaster movies we get, everybody that we've been following through the whole situation magically comes together in the end, and you know, it comes to this really neat conclusion, and here we didn't get that at all, and it felt so real. Like the connections between certain characters weren't strong, but then others were, and it was all done in a natural way, in a way that you would expect something like this, I mean, God forbid, to play out if it really happened.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there, but I think mostly, though, like kind of how big this epidemic really got, they kept saying like millions and millions of people were dying, but we just never see any of that. Like we never see piles and piles of dead bodies and a lot of people mourning. We see a lot of people rioting in the streets, but I never really got an impression outside of like news reports of so many people dying in this world. And when they're saying millions of people, I don't see that.
That, yeah, I mean, you bring that up, and that's definitely something that's almost entirely missing from the film. But then again, you know, if you're going to, there were so many different angles to explore with a situation like this. If you're going to include them all, it's going to dilute others, and you kind of have to pick and choose which is going to make the story come together best. And I mean, in terms of that process, I think Scott Z. Burns went with the right topics.
Yeah. I mean, and what's it called? And Jude Law is playing a blogger. I don't know about your screening, but at my screening, when they had Jude Law's character on the screen explaining, and he's kind of playing this despicable blogger, you know, only out for himself type of thing, and wanting to exploit this issue for his financial gain. And when Elliot Gould's character said, "You're not a real journalist. You're a blogger. You do graffiti with punctuation." There are a lot of people in my screening that were like cheering at that line. What about yours?
I wouldn't say cheering, but a lot of people laughed.
We had the laughter, and we had a lot of people applauding. Because it seemed to me like there was like a lot of print journalists there, like actually, you know, like people who write for newspapers mostly, and not as many bloggers. And I did find that funny. Did you find that scene funny, or did you think that the portrayal of a blogger was pretty accurate?
I think it's wrong to connect the term blogger to what was presented in the film and what, you know, people like us do, because we, you know, we were employed by websites, whereas he was running his own site. And basically, yes, he was blogging on a regular basis. He was just saying his thoughts for, I mean, I guess a step under professional work.
Yeah.
Which is probably why his situation became, which is why his whole scenario, I'm trying to tread around spoiling anything, became an issue. Maybe because he didn't have, you know, a real paper or some sort of office backing him up when the government doesn't like what he's writing.
Yeah, I mean, he does definitely come off sleazy in this. And I actually thought it was pretty cool that, like, the three leads in the movie The Talented Mr. Ripley were all in this movie. And I think this is the first time since The Talented Mr. Ripley we have Jude Law, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Matt Damon in the same movie since that last movie. But I think I have another issue with Matt Damon's character, namely, I felt that there should have been a little bit more time given to the fact that his, I guess, spoilers for Contagion, that Gwyneth Paltrow playing his wife was cheating on him. It seemed like that was going to be a bigger issue than it led on to be. And it for me, it just seemed like it was kind of glossed over.
I liked that it was glossed over. That seemed like the most sensible thing. Like, he was clear. He is clearly torn up about it at points, but, you know, you've got a global pandemic going on here. Are you going to cry over that? Or are you going to protect your kids?
Yeah, I see your point. I mean, which element of the film didn't work for you? I think I know what you're going to say, but I just want
to I'll let
that.
You guess. Go for it.
Was it the Marion Cotillard?
You nailed it.
Yeah.
That is from a different movie. I liked it in itself. I mean, in terms of maybe if it was a short film, but that's a scenario that needed a full feature in itself. And it didn't fit with the tone of the rest of the film either. It was like a weird crime thriller in and of itself.
Yeah, it seemed like that was another aspect of this epidemic they wanted to explore. Like what about the poorer people of this world? How are they going to deal with this epidemic? And they only really touch upon it. It kind of disappointed me, like, twice. They introduce it, and then they don't follow up with it until the very end of the movie. And I was very disappointed with that. And for me, that's kind of how the whole film felt with me, that it never felt like it needed... I mean, it didn't feel like they explored it enough for me to be satisfied with it. In a movie like Traffic, I feel an emotional attachment to those characters, and I feel that the story and their storylines within that story were enough for me, and it was explored well enough. And in Contagion, for me, it just kind of fell short.
This is the kind of film that really could be turned into a television series. Because in the end, I still certainly felt like I wanted it more. And even with each scenario like this, it's deserving of much more time than it's given. And it's something that could really carry on through a whole season of television.
Yeah, you have a good point there that this could be a cool TV show, like Contagion the TV show, something on like HBO or Showtime or AMC or something, that there's enough storylines and enough characters in here to make a really compelling TV drama.
I would certainly watch it.
Yeah, so would I. After the screening, I had to use the bathroom, and I just felt all the men in the men's room like washing their hands extra, like a bit longer than I think usual, just because we were just coming out of this movie. You kind of want to wash your hands all the time.
I was terrified about coughing in the middle of the movie. You know, when your throat just gets dry and you got to cough sometimes, and I didn't want anyone to like look at me and get the wrong idea.
Yeah, it felt like a lot of. I mean, it's gonna be. If you're a germaphobe, I would say don't watch this movie. But they do a very good job of illustrating how fast bacteria spreads and how much in contact we are with other people. That stuff. And I did like the fact that like maybe the virus isn't like this actual germ, but it's actually word of mouth. And because I thought that was pretty well done, too. Like the idea that, you know, people aren't the virus isn't the enemy. People are the enemy, that the people are going to try to kill each other, or try to rob other people's houses, and we'll have a riot. And that's the real, you know, outbreak.
Yeah, that's I think that's partially why Marion Cotillard's scenario didn't work, is because, I mean, simply it wasn't given as much time as that one had. Like we, at one point, we see a lot of Jude Law, and that scene really, that scenario really builds a lot. Whereas we lose her for I mean, maybe a half hour at a time at a point.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, when her storyline came up again, it was just so abrupt, and it was like, oh, I totally forgot about that, and now you're going to resolve that.
And it felt absurd.
It did. I'm not going to lie. It really did feel absurd.
And it's not the actress's fault or anybody else involved in that scene, too. I mean, I thought the acting was just the best of the best here. Really, really solid performances all around.
Oh, yeah. We have an all-star cast here. I mean, Lawrence Fishburne was really good. And I liked Kate Winslet a lot in this movie. And Gwyneth Paltrow. And I guess it's pretty cool to see, like, no actor is safe. Like, a lot of all-star A-list actors die in this movie, and if you like seeing that on the screen, you know, see Contagion. Actually, I saw this in IMAX, and I actually would kind of recommend seeing it in an IMAX. I kind of like the idea that movies like this don't really, I mean, aren't really relegated to things like IMAX. Like, when you think of IMAX, you think of Transformers or big action movies. I think movies like this should be in IMAX, or just like small independent films, or just character story driven films. I think I'd rather much see anything in IMAX than anything in 3D.
I'm right there behind you. I didn't get to see this in IMAX, but I could see how it could benefit from that. But before ditching the actor topic, one person that really deserves to have her name headlining this is Jennifer Ely. She is absolutely fantastic about this. Her character is so incredibly likable, and that's partially due to the fact that she's just an absolute natural on screen.
Was that the girl?
The doctor working with Lawrence Fishburne's character and Demetria Martin?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know who that was. Yeah,
she was one of the characters that I connected with the most throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, I think when the pair came on screen, I was kind of confused. I was thinking to myself, was that Demetria Martin the whole time? And it turned out to be Demetria Martin.
That it was.
But yeah, I did like her storyline. But again, it felt like a little bit incomplete, like her storyline, I guess, because you never really get a clear impression why she wants to find a cure for this. But then when she visits her father later on in the film, that came to a complete surprise to me. And it felt like if they would have explored this a little bit more, it would have, that moment could have had a better impact.
I'm still behind the fact that if we did have more of these things, they would feel almost complete in like a tacky way. This isn't the kind of movie where you can kind of just wrap everything up and top a bow on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. But I guess for me personally, I just wish it was explored a little bit more than...
I think that lends itself to the fact that it sticks with me so much, too. And I'm not just talking about the fact that now I have an intense fear of picking up some sort of disease or something and have to use hand sanitizer all the time. But I cannot stop thinking about this movie and thinking about it on a more intimate level in terms of just, like, what these characters were left with. What could they possibly be doing now? What's going to happen next?
Okay, well, let's wrap up this discussion. What's your final verdict on Contagion? Should people see this movie this weekend?
Go buy yourself one of those mini hand sanitizer containers and definitely go see it.
I would say wait for DVD. I mean, it's a good film. It's not a great film, and I think it's pretty much an okay film. I wouldn't say go out to the theater right now and see it. I would say wait for DVD or Blu-ray. The next movie that we're going to talk about that comes out this weekend, I think in a limited release than Contagion, is the new film from Gavin O'Connor, Warrior. Now, this movie is getting somewhat of a lot of Oscar buzz. I mean, when I first saw this trailer, it really felt like an Oscar-baity type of movie. And it's kind of it's the same vein as movies like Rocky or The Fighter. And really, I think one of the biggest twists in this movie that it's not boxing, it's MMA fighting. And it's about these two brothers who are just trying to get past themselves and get past their alcoholic father, former alcoholic father, to become triumphant. Perry Nemiroff, what are your thoughts on Warrior? Is this year's The Fighter?
This is better than The Fighter. I found it better than The Fighter by a little bit. I think this is going to have a surprisingly good appeal towards a younger crowd, perhaps because of the MMA aspect. And these two guys in it are just, like, mesmerizing in terms of the action that they pull off and just these characters. I mean, talk about layered characters. There is just so much to these two guys, and it's built beautifully. I don't have many negative things to say about this movie whatsoever. It was a two-and-a-half-hour movie, and that's something that would probably make me turn away generally, but this deserves every second of it and more.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I don't think I was dreading going into it. I think the only thing I was dreading was the running time, because after seeing the trailer, I thought to myself, no movie that has, like, these quote-unquote type of movie shouldn't be 2.5 hours long. But I actually feel that length is pretty appropriate, and it does go at a pretty good pace. They actually treat both brothers as main characters, so they give equal amount to both. I definitely agree with you. This is a very well-made film, and that's mostly what I'm reacting to. Sure, a lot of it, I would say, is a little cliche. If you see movies like Rocky or The Fighter, it dabbles along those lines as well. I mean, it's not really trying to break new ground that way, but what I find most impressive is the acting, which I feel is much better here than in The Fighter. I wasn't a big fan of The Fighter. I thought that movie was completely overrated. I like Joel Edgerton and Tom Hardy's performance in this far more than I like Christian Bale's performance in The Fighter, which was the only positive I really had from The Fighter. I would love to see if these two actors would be nominated for Best Actor or Best Supporting Actor. Well, probably Best Actor, because they're both leading in this. But I just don't see that happening. I see it's going to be one or the other or none of them.
I'd love to see both of them.
Yeah, I would love to see both of them, too. And if that happens, it's kind of mirror the movie, because you don't know who you're going to root for or who you're going to, like, campaign for or who you would want to win. That's
That'd
kind of
be an interesting scenario.
Yeah, and I can just imagine the articles now, you know. And it's interesting to think about, like, this movie, the way it's just constructed is just so brilliant. I mean, if you watch the trailer, you do get the impression that, you know, sooner or later these brothers are going to fight in this winner-take-all tournament. But when they actually get to that moment, you yourself in the audience, you don't know who you're rooting for. And movies like this, you know who you're going to root for, you know who you want to win, and you're just kind of going back and forth every time. I mean, the last 45 minutes of this is that MMA tournament, and you don't know who you want to win.
The fact that you do know that they're going to go head to head in the end from the very beginning, though, kind of lessens the predictability part. Because it's not like you're waiting the entire time and then they're like, hey, they're going to fight each other now. Surprise. But it's not really. But yeah, even when we do get to the end, it's really a workout for your mind, because you are just jumping back and forth, because each brother has some really noble causes they're fighting for, but then they each have elements that would make them less deserving than the other, and you're back and forth the entire time, and it's exhausting in the best way possible.
Yeah, and I don't want to say this movie is all completely intense and seriously dramatic. There are moments of levity in this film, and those moments hit on really well. Like, just as you think that you can't take this emotionally anymore, a bit of comedy comes out, which alleviates all that. I think that was very masterfully done. And me, myself, coming out of this movie, I was actually pretty surprised how much I enjoyed watching this, definitely more so than The Fighter. And I agree with you that this MMA element in the film will get a lot of younger people in. I mean, it's actually a little bit more brutal than any boxing film I've seen recently.
Some of the fight scenes are absolutely incredible in the end. I mean, there's actually one online, a clip that was officially released that I found particularly brutal in the best way possible. It was the scene where Tom Hardy's character knocks some guy out in a practice ring, and it's a smart scene to have released beforehand because it doesn't spoil anything, but it really gives you a taste of what to expect in terms of the brutality and the heart behind it. And I would definitely advise seeking that out first.
You've seen the trailer for this. Do you think the trailer should have revealed as much as it does?
I don't think I remember enough about the trailer to know what you're referring to.
Well, they do mention that they are brothers, and it seems like it's going to be somewhat of a surprise. And they do say that they do fight each other in this tournament. Do you feel that maybe should have been a bigger surprise than what was in the trailer?
No, not really, because if that were the case and you sat down for this movie the entire time, when this tournament's approaching, you're probably going to be sitting there. I mean, everyone's smart enough to figure it out, I would think, and we'll all just be sitting there and saying, oh, you know, it's going to happen. They're going to come together. And then when it's going to, it's going to take away from the effect of that. Whereas they just told us right off the bat, then they delivered all this quality material that, you know, earned that build, and then we got it.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Nick Nolte's character as this former alcoholic father who's trying to, like, mend his relationship with his two sons? And I guess Nick Nolte's performance overall.
It was just so frustratingly sad. And I mean it in a good way. That character is just so helpless and alone. It broke my heart. Especially this one scene, probably in the third act of the film, I think, with Nolte and Tom Hardy, that is just absolutely beautiful. They have the best connection. There's definitely more of a connection between Nolte and Hardy than Edgerton. And that's probably one of the best relationships in this piece.
Yeah, I would agree with that, that your emotional ties with you know, with Nick Nolte's character as this alcoholic father, and just again, when you're watching this film with these two brothers, you kind of go back and forth on how you feel about them, because you see them that they're treating this old man like this, but you kind of have to think that they have reason to be so cold to this man, and so they do go from likable to unlikable, likable to likable, and that's throughout the whole film. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why people are responding to this movie so much, that it does take you on this, you know, emotional roller coaster more so than you think a movie like this would. And it definitely has its payoff. You know, the way this movie ends is just so fitting for how this whole movie played out throughout.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on, like, I guess, Oscar consideration? Like I said at the beginning of talking about Warrior, a lot of people think that this is going to be Best Picture, a lot of Oscars for acting. What are your thoughts on Oscar consideration?
My hopes are mainly for two Best Actor nominations, but yeah, I think this is definitely a contender in Best Picture. Is it going to win? I mean, as of right now, I'm going to guess no, but of course it's impossible to tell because we don't really have the best sense of what's to come. And like these next few months is going to bring us the serious competition, but we'll wait and see. I mean, this is between this and Contagion. I'm just like so incredibly excited for this weekend, and I'm really excited for Warrior, and I desperately want it to do well and be recognized.
Yeah, same here. And actually, I think I'm going to say this right now. I think The Help is going to get nominated for Best Picture, just namely because it's grossed so much money already, and it doesn't look like it's going to lose any traction anytime soon. And I know it came out during the summer, and maybe people will forget about it, but I know when it comes out on DVD, people are going to talk about that movie again. Critics are responding to it, and it's making a lot of money, and I'm pretty sure, I'm going to say that right now, that it's going to get nominated for Best Picture. I see a movie like Warrior getting nominated for Best Picture as well, but it's too soon to say. I think Contagion is probably going to win the box office this week. What do you think is going to be number one this week?
It's not a competition. Contagion is hitting over 3,000 theaters. I think this is getting something like 1,600, 1,700. So, and then there's two other minimal releases too. I mean, it'll do well. It'll probably have a really nice per theater average to show, but in terms of that number one spot, it's going to Contagion.
Yeah, I actually see The Help getting number two, because it doesn't seem like that movie's going to drop off anytime soon. I guess let's wrap up. Anything else you wanted to talk about with Warrior?
Just that I am behind this film with all I have, and if you spend your money on it, you will not regret it.
Where does this rank in your of your year of movies?
The past few weeks have really it shook up my top 10 so far this year. I mean, it's definitely in there. I haven't exactly decided on the ranking just yet.
Interesting. I mean, I haven't really. I think I have my top five all panned out already. But that's definitely going to change closer it gets to December. I can see this being in my top 10 or top 15 at the end of the year. But as it stands right now, I only really have my top five locked down. But that's definitely going to change more and more, especially since New York Film Festival is coming up. And we're going to be seeing a lot of heavy hitters in the upcoming weeks.
Looking forward to that.
Same here. All right. So I guess we are definitely both recommending see Warrior. Very good movie. And you'll even be entertained if you just want to see, a lot of brutal fight scenes, because there's definitely a lot of brutality in this film. And the wrestler Kurt Angle was in this film, which I found very interesting. And I was kind of surprised that Kurt Angle was in this movie.
That's a fun character, though. It's such a supporting role, but it's like he earns this presence that you're actually afraid of.
Yeah, and it's actually a complete 180 from his wrestling character, because his wrestling character was kind of all patriotic, and this guy is not. He's from Russia, and he's for some reason wearing like the communist Russian flag, so far removed from when Russia was communist. I actually thought that was pretty funny to me. All right, let's wrap up this discussion on Warrior. Where can we find you online, Perry Nemiroff?
You can find me at Shockya.com, CinemaBlend.com, Movies.com, and ComingSoon.net. And you can catch me on Twitter. My handle is P. Nemiroff, P-N-E-M-I-R-O-F-F.
And you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Rudy_Obias. That's RUDIE_OBIAS. Shockya.com, AutorCast.com, and everything that is Rudy at RudyObias.com. I think on the next episode of Movie Night, we're going to discuss Straw Dogs, the remake of the Sam Peckinpah film, and possibly Drive, and maybe Lion King 3D. I like Lion King. I don't know how I feel about seeing it in 3D. Thank you for listening to our show. Goodbye.